hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
What is going on, guys? You're listening to Penn's Corner Podcast. I'm Tommy Kulikowski, alongside my brother and co-host Dale Kulikowski. We cover everything Wilkes-Barre's Grand Penguins from top to bottom. Sometimes a little bit of Pittsburgh mixed in there, but not usually. We got some big news. Trade deadline on Friday, which means that there is some big stuff impacting Wilkes-Barre in the present moment. Breaking news, Mark Friedman and Brock McGinn cleared waivers and are being sent down.
Sorry, a little bit of mic jumble here. My mic just fell off.
What is happening?
Well, the mic started falling down before, so I tried to discreetly fix it. And then I tried to discreetly fix it, and I think I made it worse. So now I'm just holding it.
I think you definitely made it worse.
I'm just going to fix it
after. As long as you don't touch that, I don't think we could hear it.
Yeah, no, I think I'll just deal with it later.
So Mark Friedman and Brock McGinn cleared waivers today at 2 p.m., which is huge. We thought that they might still be in the Pittsburgh squad regardless, but I guess they wanted their kind of wages for some reason, even though they kind of just wasted them away on a trade. But they got sent down to Wilkes-Barre, which is huge. We have a classic coming up this weekend. We took a loss to Hershey tonight, and we could really use them. Huge boost, especially being that we lost Drake Cajula to Pittsburgh as well, because they're trying to replace the forward. He's one of our best forwards. So, I mean, let's get started with Brock McGinn, the impact that he could have, where he'll fit in this squad, and what we can expect going into the Classic.
Being realistic, he's not an NHL level player at the moment. I think he got an assist last night. But other than that, I really don't think he's an NHL player.
1 point in 26 games?
No, he's an AHL player. So, is he better than some of the players we have on our team? Yeah, he's definitely better than some of our fourth or third liners, but I don't see him making this big season-saving impact, honestly.
I think he'd be perfect on a hitting line because of his fitness. If he can come in, make a physical impact, add a couple goals to our second or third line, maybe. Probably third line, realistically. He's playing as a forward. If Cajula comes back down, I can't see him playing in the top two lines.
No, I mean, he's... I don't know if he's ever actually been in the AHL. Let me look that up. But I know that he has the quality. But he's... Something doesn't click with him, and he's not going to click with our team, I think. I don't think we're going to see an impact from him. I think he'll be good, and I think he'll score more points than an average player on our team. Oh, yeah, he played with the Charlotte Checkers 15-16. 48 games, he had 35 points. He had 8 points in 9 games. Oh, sorry. It's a little weird talking this close to the mic.
I mean, if we have anybody come in, though, and they contribute 10 to 15 points throughout the remainder of the season, that'd be phenomenal. Because we have no one that would play on the third line or the fourth line that could do that for us. Having him as a forward, realistically, 15 points makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. We don't have that many games left. And we need the points, especially after dropping tonight, dropping constantly throughout the week. Like, Wilkes-Barre are in a crisis situation. We need to pretty much win out if we want any good position going into playoffs.
The odds of us making playoffs aren't there. 72 games left. There's 76 games, right?
No, I think it's 72.
It is 72 because we have 36 home games. Hi, Kat. We've played 53. We are currently 3 points off of a playoff spot, and everyone above us has a game in hand. So, that being said, I think Friedman might have an impact because Fadun has just been absolutely poor. We said it multiple times. We've said it. I know I've said it a couple times.
You don't touch that cord there. That's why it's glitching out. Your hand on the cord in the back.
This one?
Yeah. Okay.
This is hard. This is a lot harder than you think. Your arm gets really tired quick.
I know. This is what we tried to do when we were in Florida, and it failed epically. We never released that episode, though, because of the hurricane.
No, but... But hey, well, we're going to figure it out the hard way, I guess. We're here to stay.
I don't know. That new defender is just not it.
It's his first game, and it was against one of the best teams in the league. So is he bang average?
Yes.
And then he's bang average. That's fine. Mitch Rinke's been bang average.
below bang average, honestly.
Then average is better than what we got. Fadun has just been poor. We said it from the beginning of the season that Fadun really didn't look like he was it this year.
The issue is JD's not going to sit Rinky, though. He's not going to sit Fadun. He won't sit those guys. He'll sit the youngsters, but he'll find an excuse to play them because they have experience. That's the sad reality.
Yeah, no,
Rinky could keep playing as bad as he is. Fadun will play as bad as he is, but they're still going to play. So we need some kind of addition that's going to kind of save their ass, and I think Mark Friedman coming back might be that guy, which is good. Because, I mean, literally 2 days ago we said there was really no hope in him coming back, and then suddenly he clears waivers, which is like
unfathomable.
I don't know why no one would pick him up off of waivers. Brock McGinn, totally get it. Dude sucks.
No, he's terrible.
But Mark Friedman, you're stupid not to pick him up. He's a good defender. He's an angry elf too. He's going to bring physicality. He's going to bring temper. He's going to bring tempo. I mean, that's a huge miss. I almost feel like teams just didn't want to spend money. I feel like so many teams are so deep in deals late in the trade deadline that maybe he slipped through at a perfect time. I don't know, but thank God he's back because I think he could be a major boost. I feel like Brock McGinn might have a point to prove, which I'm praying. You saw his last game in Pittsburgh. The dude hasn't gotten a point in 26 games. And then his last game, before he's listed on waivers, he gets an assist.
He was listed on waivers while he was playing.
Well, that's what I meant. But there was so much incentive. Dude was jumping in front of pucks. He was getting involved on offense. He was doing more than he was before. I'm hoping this move incentivizes Brock McGinn. And he's like, you know, I need to make a future for myself. I'm still a decent age. I'm young enough where I could still be picked up. Let's see how many numbers I could pick up in a... How many games? 17?
19.
19 game span. If I'm Brock McGinn right now, I'm saying, I'm pissed off. I just got dropped from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Nobody picked me up off of waivers because I've had a pathetic season. I'm going to go torch people in the AHL.
But he might also take that wrongly. Like, hey, I'm in the AHL. Why should I care?
I totally. But like, as a fan, I'm saying, what if I were Brock McGinn, and what I want to see from Brock McGinn is, I'm pissed. I'm coming in here. I want to make an impact. The rest of this season is my season. Look at how many points OC had in 19 games. I'm not saying Brock McGinn is OC by any means. O'Connor's a much better player. There's a reason he has output up in Pittsburgh right now. He's putting up points regularly. But if I was in his position, I would want to be in Wilkes-Barre. I would want to go out there hungry every game. And I'd want to prove to them why I'm worth something. And I pray to God he brings that because we need that little spark. And I'm hoping this is what can like kind of give us that little bit of X factor above all the rest. Because the rest of the season looks kind of hopeless, to be totally honest. It's hard to watch the boys right now. They're defeated. They're dropping points like crazy every single game. It's hard not to be frustrated watching them because we care so much about them. But nothing was going to change, and we knew that. And this is kind of like our last chance, you know? This kind of feels like it's it. If Mark Friedman and maybe the return of Gruden.
Week to week.
The addition of Brock McGinn.
He's week to week. We probably won't see Gruden for another month and a half.
It's just like if those little things don't make a difference, the season's over. So at this point, we're like kind of just holding on to that.
Well, I'd see what you're saying, and you always take the more optimistic side. I think even with these two players coming back, I don't think we have much of a... Even if we do make playoffs, with this group of players that we have, unless something happens in Pittsburgh where they don't make it, I don't think we have much of a season anymore. I'm just being real here with it. We're dropping points to teams we shouldn't... We lost to Belleville in overtime. Off of a stupid, stupid mistake from our veteran. So, I don't know. It's tough. It's a tough time to be a Penguin. We have this amazing opportunity to go to this outdoor classic, and when you go into an outdoor classic with zero hope in your heart, it sucks. It sucks when your team, they're changing their name to the Old Forge Pizzas. We get... they don't show any care about the fans.
If that's not an April Fool's joke, I will have never been more upset with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins.
If they come out in Old Forge pizza jerseys, I'm leaving. I will boycott the game.
I
will say that right now on podcast.
I genuinely hope that's an April Fool's joke. This can be a moment. Penn's Corner podcast keeps a pretty neutral opinion on social media. But if the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins or any person that works within the organization on the social media level is listening to this right now, you did an absolutely horrible job with that Old Forge video. It looks unprofessional. You're representing an actual organization here, and we look like a joke on the ice and now off of it, thanks to that video. And if you change our name to the Old Forge Pizzas for a single game because of some publicity stunt, because Old Forge has the best pizza in the world.
It doesn't.
It would be a tragedy. Literally the most embarrassing moment in Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins history. We were both ready to cry yesterday watching that video. Literally fuming. We were both doing things. And that video, the idea of changing your name for a single game to something as stupid as the Old Forge Pizzas, you get fucking laughed at by everybody on the ice. If I was a team and I was playing a team that was changing their name to the fucking Old Forge Pizzas for a game, oh my God, I'd want to go batshit wild on them. That is the most ridiculous thing.
I think the frustrating thing for me was how unprofessional we look with that video. Like, I'd rather a slideshow.
Zero professionalism. It was a fucking slideshow. The first 20 seconds of it was a slideshow. What they film that driving to work with their iPhone?
Did you know that I did not know that's what Rocky and Liss looked like, though? If we're being, like, online EPA here, I never seen either of them.
No,
I thought Rocky was going to be like a 35-year-old and Liss was going to be like, I mean, Liss I actually can understand. Like, she looked normal. I did not think Rocky was going to look like that.
No, I thought he'd have, like, spiky yellow hair and be a crazy-looking 40-year-old man or something.
I was not expecting that. I mean, we saw Jumpin' Jeff the other day, but I knew what he looked like.
But, yeah, this team could not get any lower. That Old Forge pizza stunt is the biggest crock of bullshit I've ever seen. I'm happy they chose April 1st. I'm happy they chose April 1st because there's a hope that there is a joke. If this is not a joke, this is so embarrassing. You are making an actual joke of this organization.
Even if it was just like the pizzas, even if it was just...
Do a pizza deal. Do something in the concourse.
Do the pizzas. If we're the Wilkes-Barre Scranton pizzas for a night, that's fine.
What if you kept your name and just did an Old Forge pizza jersey? That'd be really cool. Make the front logo the Old Forge pizza thing, but stay the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. Say we're doing a night that represents the Old Forge pizzas, but change your
$1
fucking name.
Slices of pizza. $1 slices of pizza.
The Syracuse Crunch versus the Old Forge pizzas. I hear that.
And then
I want to jump through that fucking wall over
there.
And
then the unprofessionalism of the Twitter admin to chirp back at fans.
I don't get it.
I'm sorry you don't like fun things. That's unprofessional. I mean, don't get me wrong. Unprofessionalism is like a funny thing with Twitter admins, but you look at Hershey's and they're funny. That's rude. I could go on for hours, but
there's a difference.
We should save our tangents for another night, and I think we should each tell, since we're traveling in the next few days.
Well, what about Hershey 5-3?
Oh, we lost 5-3. We sucked. I mean, we had a great comeback, but if we can't see out, we can't do anything right now.
We came back 2 goals late in the game. Looked good. I don't know what it is about the late third period for this team. Why can we not play in the late third period? How many points have we lost to late third period games in this year alone? It's like
lack of concentration and discipline.
It is like we had 5 minutes left in the game, right? 5 minutes left, 3-3. As a team who's struggling with points, right? Wouldn't you say, boys, let's fucking grind this out for 5 minutes, right? Let's get this 1 point, see if we can take it OT, get another point. We got a good offensive core. We got at least 2 solid lines. Nylander can make a difference. Also, shout out to Niels. That goal was filthy.
Yeah, it was.
Ridiculous.
Adamo's playing good, too.
Yeah, he is. Mad shout out to Adamo. I think this is like game 5 or game 6 for him.
6.
Good goal scoring presence in Wheeling. And honest to God, 2 goals in a game against Hershey. Mad respect. We both shouted out that we'd really like to see him in our fourth line. I think he'd be huge because of a big body, big presence. And if he's going to keep scoring goals, I'd love to see him in the team. So I'm really confident they'll hold him past his PTO and maybe give him the shot he deserves.
We'll see. I hope so too, but we'll see.
But yeah, to allow 2 goals in the last 5 minutes when you know you need points, right? If you're JD, what are you doing in that situation? Are you not saying like let's go? We got 5 minutes left. Grind this out. Let's get a point. Let's go win an OT. No?
Well, I'm sure JD is trying, but the team looks very unmotivated, and we're not disciplined at all. Our fourth line is scoring more than our third and second lines. Just saying. I mean, Pusanen had a -3 plus minus today. We don't have our wingers drop. Our wingers aren't defensive wingers. Nylander, who didn't give a shit about the team last season, is our best player, like, through it, thick and through.
We don't have any defensive wingers aside from Ravis Anson's. We don't have anyone who's going to track back. We don't have anyone who's going to lay body. But I mean, they're all foreign guys. That's not their playing style, which is unfortunate.
It has to be. That's not how, unless they want to keep playing in foreign, they have to kind of learn how to play in the NHL. But like we said before, everything so far in this podcast has been negative. Let's switch it up. Let's give one funny story from our traveling days.
You can go first.
I don't know if we ever... Did we ever tell the one about Utica?
Yeah.
We told the whole Utica about how we got chirped in Utica.
Yep.
What else did we... Syracuse? No, there wasn't anything cool with that. Syracuse was just an in and out. I mean, the first time I met Joseph, that was... I mean, the first time I met Joseph, I was shaking like I was a little kid. I asked him to sign my jersey, and I couldn't even hand him the pen. I was so nervous.
Well, that was in Syracuse, wasn't it?
That was in Syracuse. It was in April. It was one of our last games. And then there was the first Syracuse. Nothing happened. I don't really know. I think that was about it for me, other than the Joseph thing.
No, that was a good night. I think you're missing some key details. I mean, we went in there. It looked like we pulled up, and there's this beautiful facility across the road from Syracuse. And we went to walk in there, but everyone had suits on. We were like, well, this doesn't really fit the vibe, but it looks like an arena. So the guy was like, no, you're wearing hockey jerseys. You're kind of looking for that place. And it's almost as if it's like a TV show where it's like, oh, you're going to the wrong place. It's over there. And then they kind of pan over to this like shitty establishment. And you're like, oh, well, that's a fucking burner arena. So we walked in, and the police checkpoint is just like, it's crazy. They've got dogs in there for no reason.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like dogs, metal detectors. You get scanned no matter what.
Real serious security. And then that same night, they were doing the, for starters, we walked in because we had no idea what was going on. It's basically like a high school with bleachers in it. I mean, part of the section you sit in is literally by like a stage. It actually looks like a high school.
Yeah.
If anyone's ever been there before, it is a high school with a hockey rink in the middle of it.
And nothing against the military, but ROTC everywhere. Like, I obviously we support the military, but I don't really want to see kids get sworn into the ROTC in the intermissions.
And it looks like a Civil War museum on the concourse too.
It's pretty cool. But
the beer selection is phenomenal.
Oh my God, it's crazy good.
But they also did a raffle that night for kids hockey or whatever.
Oh, the Chuck Pucks.
The Chuck Pucks, but they have a net around pretty much the entire ice. So it you have to run through sections to even throw the puck. And you won't understand unless you see it. This is the wackiest looking arena ever.
And in order to buy the 10 pucks, they have like little 8-year-olds running it. So you give them the money, and then they write down, they give you like 10 randomized pucks, and then you have to tell them the numbers on your pucks. And they can that's how they do it.
It's a little weird system. Weird system.
It takes it honestly takes more time to get your pucks than it does to chuck the puck.
That's true. And then we finally got in there. We were walking around the ring, and then we saw Joseph. He was sitting down. So Dale's like, I'm going to go see if I can get my picture with him. And some asshole security guard's like, you can't walk past this section. Like, dude, first of all, you're being an anal freak. There's literally people sitting farther left than you're guarding right now. Like, we're just trying to go to the edge and get a picture with Joseph. And this guy was so dead set. You can't come down here. You can't come down here. And we're like, we're not trying to come down here. We're trying to get to our seats after we take a picture with Joseph.
I looked at Adam. I'm like, so I can go three rows up, get my picture, and then leave. And you can't say a word to me about it. He's like, that is correct. Yes. So we got the picture.
Okay. Thank you very much, asshole. And then we went and did our own thing. We were sitting behind the glass, though, and this is the first time we've ever experienced things directly on the boards. And when the pucks came flying in, it sounds like actual gunfire. Scared the living shit out of me personally so bad that I was like, I'm going to go grab another beer and just walk around the concourse instead. It is so loud and so scary because there's like 30 pucks. During the game, there's one puck and you can watch it. You expect the sound. In warm-ups, you can't watch all the pucks, so they just catch you off guard constantly. It's like, pop, 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 pop. I'm like, get me out of here. So, yeah, crazy experience. I mean, we got shit on, obviously, because it's the Syracuse Crunch, and they're going to kill the Old Forge pizzas on April 1st, too. But
what other ones? Did we tell them about Watertown? I think so. I think we mentioned it.
No, we haven't talked about Watertown at all. I think we need to save that, though. I like the positive tangent where we talk about stories, but I think we're going to have a separate podcast where we like dive deeper into all of our stories. We still haven't fully discussed Hartford.
I think we told them we're not going to.
I think we're not going to talk about the game. We'll talk about the opportunity, how we got there, but definitely not the game.
Yeah.
But we'll save all the stories for another time.
Adirondack Thunder was a good one too. That's one I have.
That's another good one. I hope you guys are really liking the podcast-a-thon. We've been working hard trying to get content out to you, and we cannot wait to have our interactive fan podcast tomorrow. We still do not have a time when we're going to do that, but we'd really appreciate it if you're listening to this, check out our story constantly. We're going to keep you updated with our travels.
If you guys have a specific time you want to, make sure you like text us and tell us what time would work best for you.
Yep, I'm probably going to start a poll after we release this. I'm going to say today, on Thursday, we're going to release a poll and say what time works best for you guys based on when we are going to be like in a set position where we can podcast, where we can get you guys involved. And then once we find a time that's convenient for all of you, then we're going to grind this out. And we cannot wait to end our 4-day podcast-a-thon with a fan interactive podcast. This is something we've been waiting for from the very beginning. We finally have over 200 downloads on our podcast, guys. Cannot tell you how much we appreciate everything you guys are doing. All of you guys that are listening in, it really, honest to God, means the world. We're two good brothers that are super passionate about the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins. We did this podcast as something we can reflect on, something we can have fun with. And the fact that you are taking it and running with it and creating a community is like, it's beyond words. It's really, really cool. Like, I cannot express how much it means to us. So thank you so, so much. Continue to listen in. Please let us know based on what you see on our story tomorrow. And with that being said, try and stay positive. The boys are losing a lot of games right now. Playoff hopes are not looking good. But we have a good core. We have a great coach. They'll figure it out. And honestly, if we do find, you know, our spot in playoffs in Pittsburgh tank, maybe we can make it an interesting postseason out of this. So fingers crossed. Up the Pens. Appreciate you guys more than you know. Have a great night.
Also, I got a haircut today. Wait till you guys see it. It looks really, really nice.
It is a nice haircut.
It's like an 8 out of 10 haircut. Loyalty Barbers. Shout out Billy.
All right, later, guys.
Later. Good old